بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 2nd of October in the year 2017 الحمد لله we've completed the 20th week the 140th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. And after setting the groundwork, i.e. with regards to the blessed statements of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, foretelling the martyrdom of his dear companion, and also the dreams that the righteous had, showing that it was imminent, we can now turn to the details. So the next section is entitled, The Three Unholy Conspirators. Indeed, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu's assassination was a conspiracy devised by the Persian slaves who were boiling with anger against him because he had destroyed their proud empire and taken their women and children as slaves. Indeed, the wretched Abu Lu'lu'a Fairuz al-Majusi, the slave of Sayyidina Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiyallahu anhu, harbored feelings of intense hatred for Sayyidina Umar more than anyone else. Why? This wretched man was originally from Nahawand. He was first a Roman slave. The Romans had captured him. Then later in a Roman Byzantine Arab war, the Arabs now had captured him. Later, he was destined to become the slave of Sayyidina Mughira ibn Shu'bah. So basically, he's always getting the short end of the stick. He's first the Roman slave, then Jahiliyyah Adam slave, and then of course he falls to a Sahab. It is related in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 347, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Al-Qamil, volume 3, page 7, that he used to stroke the Persians' children's heads in Al-Madinah with his hand, and he would weep, claiming that the Arabs had devoured his liver. So obviously this shaitan was thinking that this is humiliation for the Persians. But in reality, it was a great honor. Allah Ta'ala was opening Islam to them. Well, he was just looking at it in the sense that these Arabs have overpowered us. They used to be our slaves. And he saw the young children and the women, and he would affectionately stroke the Persian children's heads, and he would weep. Thus, the real reason for this wretch on assassinating the venerable Khalif radiyallahu anhu was that he had considered Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu to have disgraced his land and humiliated its dignified natives. Indeed, the abominable crime was plotted in secret, and Abu Lu'lu'a was not the only one behind this diabolical plan. So this is a mistake. When you hear certain historical narratives, it indicates it was only him. But that's not true. There was others involved as well. To illustrate, it has been related in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 350, that when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anh, saw the dagger with which Sayyidina Umar had been killed, radiallahu anh, he remembered seeing the very same dagger only the day before with Al-Hurmuzan and Jufayna. Thus, when he asked them about it, they said, "We cut meat with this. We do not touch meat with our hands." So look how interesting. The same dagger that was used to strike Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the poison dagger, it was in the hands of who? Al-Hurmuzan. Remember that person who apparently embraced Islam? And Jufayna. So three individuals. And Abdul Rahman asked him, you know, when he saw the dagger, what's this for? Because we don't eat meat with our hands. This is what this is for. In addition, it is related in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 355, that when Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, once passed by Abu Lu'lu'a and his intimate friends, Jufayna and Al-Hurmuzan, they were startled and they dropped a two-tipped dagger with a handle in its middle. Later, when Sayyidina Umar was martyred, radiallahu anhu, it was the very same dagger described by Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr. So look how amazing. Those three shaitans together. So who are they? Abu Lu'lu'ah, the Persian. Jufayna, who was the Christian. And Al-Khurmuzan, the shaitan. And the two-tip dagger fell. And it was the very same dagger that was later used to martyr Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu. Thus, it was crystal clear that these three unholy men, Al-Hurmuzan, Abu Lu'lu'a, and Jufayna, all plotted the murder. With regards to Al-Hurmuzan, it has already been related in Al-Bidaya, volume 7, page 87-8, Tabari in his Tariq, volume 4, page 86-8, that he had embraced Islam only to save his neck. Indeed, Hafiz ibn Jarir clearly stated in his Tariqh, volume 4, page 88, he had no other choice. It was either embrace Islam or die, and he chose to become a Muslim. So going back, what happened? Remember the incident when he spilled the water? And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, get some more water for him. And he goes, I don't need the water. And he goes, you promised that I would not die until I've drank the water. And Umar goes, kill him. And then Anas intervened. He goes, you gave your word, Amir al-Mu'mini. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will not be deceived. And then he quickly took the shahad. So obviously the whole scenario shows that he was just doing something to save his neck. But then later on, you can see the fruits of this. Therefore, as is but obvious, such a person is liable to treachery, deceit, and any other evil acts, including, of course, murder. As for the third of the unholy trinity, Jufayna, it is related in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, volume 3, page 356, that he was a Christian and a friend of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu, who brought him to Al-Madinah due to his witty banter. Indeed, he used to even teach the Bible in Al-Madinah. So reflect, a man living amongst the greatest people in terms of Iman, and still adhering blindly to his false religion, can undoubtedly do anything, even killing, for he is an enemy to Islam and the Muslims, enraged by their achievements and superiority. So note, this, you know, it doesn't take, you know, Sherlock Holmes to work out, you know, what was the plan here. They all had hatred for Islam. Obviously, Al-Hurmuzan, he killed Saab. Abu Lu'lu'a, Persian proud empire, destroyed. Jufayna, fanatical Christian. But there's a fourth person. And his name is also mentioned. So who's the fourth? Was Ka'ab al-Ahbar also involved in the plot? Was Ka'ab al-Ahbar also involved in the plot? Ka'ab al-Ahbar had also been accused by some of being part of the conspiracy to murder the Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu anhu. And indeed, there appears to be a damning report to this effect. So what's the report? Which seems to also implicate him. In Tabari in his Tariq, 5-182-183, Sayyidina al-Miswar al-Makhrama, radiallahu anhu, he relates. Umar radiallahu anhu, he proceeded towards his dwelling. The next day, Ka'ab al-Ahbar came to him and said, write a will, you will die in 3 days. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, how do you know this? Ka'ab replied, I find it in the Torah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu inquired, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you found Umar ibn al-Khattab written in the Torah? Ka'ab replied, no, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I found there in your description and that your life's term is now ending. So stopping the report, so Ka'ab said in the scripture, your time is coming to an end, you're not mentioned by name. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, but Umar does not feel any ache or pain. He goes, how can I be passing away within a few short days? The next day, Ka'ab came to him and said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu anhu, one day has passed and now you are left with one more day and night. You have until the morning of that night. When morning came, Umar radiallahu anhu went to offer the salat. He used to appoint a man in each row of the congregational prayer to ensure it was straight. And only when he was told that the rows were straight, he would start leading the salah. Abu Lu'lu'a entered the congregation with a double-headed dagger in his hand, whose handle was in the middle. He thereupon struck Sayyidina Umar with it 6 times. One of the strikes was below the navel, and that is the one that proved fatal. So this is the report. Based upon this report, some contemporary scholars have arrived at the conclusion that Ka'ab al-Ahbar was part of the grand conspiracy to murder the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Have you understood? Because, you know, he's using the Torah, but really he knew that his, you know, his time is coming to an end because he's going to be killed, he's going to be struck. So they've also implicated Ka'ab al-Ahbar. So who are these contemporary scholars? These latter-day scholars include Dr. Jamil Abdullah al-Masri in his book entitled Jewish and Christian Influence in Tribulations and Internal Conflicts in the First Century of Islam. A second sheikh, Abdul Wahhab al-Najjar in his book The Rightly Guided Khalifs. And a third sheikh, Professor Ghazi Muhammad Faraj in his book Secret Jewish Activity, Theory and Practice. So you'll find it, because Ka'ab is also implicated. However, Sheikh Ahmad ibn Abdullah al-Zughaybi rejected this conclusion. And he said this narration is a fabrication. And he gave reasons. So this is in the work Al-Hadith wa Al-Muhaddithun, page 182 to 183. So the first reason he gives, quote, if this narration was authentic, it would have been expected of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu not to accept just Ka'ab's claim alone. On the contrary, he would have gathered all the Jewish scholars who had converted to Islam. Then he would have inquired from them about Ka'ab's prediction. Had he done that, Ka'ab would have been exposed as a liar and a conspirator against the Khalif, or at least someone having knowledge of such a plot. This would then have led Umar to carry out a full investigation and punish the plotters, including Ka'ab. However, none of this happened, which is a proof of the report being a figment of imagination. Have you understood? So this is the first reason he gives. He goes, look how strange. Umar saw thorough. He was, you know, he consulted over, you know, so many matters, like Abu Huraira said. After the Prophet, I haven't seen him consult anybody more than Sayyidina Umar in Tirmidhi. And yet, he doesn't verify this, because it doesn't make sense. That's the first reason. Then the Shaykh said, secondly, if the prophecy was in the Torah, why was only Ka'ab aware of it, to the exclusion of other biblical scholars like Abdullah ibn Salam from the senior companions? Abdullah ibn Salam, famous hadith, he embraced Islam. He was the most learned of the Jews. He was a rabbi. He didn't mention this to Sayyidina Umar. Imagine. So the Umar apparently takes the knowledge from a tabi'in, neglects a rabbi who's a sahaba. Doesn't make sense. Then the Shaykh said, thirdly, even if the story were true, it would mean that Ka'ab had a hand in the plot and he foolishly exposed himself. It is known that a person who conspires on a secret plot goes to extremes to keep his tracks covered even after the occurrence. Exposing it before its implementation is utter foolishness. Whilst Ka'ab, rahmatullah alayh, was known for the sharpness of his mind and intelligence. Because even logically, why is he even given a hint? Imagine, we're going to kill him. But let me just give him a few hints. A few more days, yeah, you're going to die. Why even mention it? Doesn't make sense. Then the Shaykh said, fourthly, what is the relation between the Torah and specifying people's ages? Allah the Almighty and Glorious sent down His book to guide people, not for such news about dates of deaths. Shaykh Muhammad Abu Zuhur therefore concluded, all of this shows that this story is false without a doubt. Accusations that Qa'ab rahmatullah alayh conspired against Islam and attributed a false story to the Torah is baseless. So this is the problem. If you don't verify things, don't research into it as you ought to, innocent people get accused. Qa'ab al-Akhbar, he was free of this, rahmatullah alayh. So this is what this sheikh mentioned. Further clear proofs that Qa'ab al-Akhbar rahmatullah alayh was exonerated of such a dastardly crime is what is related by Shaykh Muhammad al-Waqir. So where is it recorded? In his work, Jawla Tariq fil Asr al-Khulafa al-Rashidin, page 296. So this respected Shaykh, he gives you further proofs why he's innocent. The first thing that a researcher is faced with is how Ubaydullah ibn Umar, Umar's son, Ubaydullah ibn Umar, rahmatullah alayh, behaved as soon as he heard about what had happened to his father, radiyallahu anhu. He took hold of a sword and, like an agitated beast, killed Hormuzan, Jufayna, and Abu Lu'lu'a's young daughter. Do you thus think that this Ubaydullah, rahmatullah alayh, would have left Qa'ab? Despite the question marks surrounding his role in the plot, and killed instead the child of Abu Lu'lu'a. A person carrying out an academic investigation into the matter can never accept this. So, I'm going to mention it at the relevant time, but Umar's son killed everybody. When his father was martyred, he got his sword and he killed all those he thought was responsible. Why did he leave Qa'ab? Think about that. The Shaykh continued, plus most of the historians did not mention this incident. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat mentioned the incident of the murder in minute details, but he did not even point to the story of Qa'ab, rahmatullah alayh. The only thing mentioned about Qa'ab in this regard is what is he stood near the door of Umar's dwelling and he was weeping. And he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Umar had sworn that Allah the Almighty will delay his death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have delayed it. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 3-361. So think about that. Ibn Sa'ad, Hafiz Ibn Sa'ad, he wrote the Tabaqat. He goes into great detail in history. Why has he not mentioned this incident about Qa'ab al-Akhbar? Not mentioned it. But rather he's mentioned the grief of Qa'ab. He's crying at Umar's door saying that even if he makes a dua now, I know Allah will let him live. The Shaykh continued. Hafiz ibn Sa'ad also related that when Qa'ab visited Umar after the physician had informed him that he did not have long to live, he said to Umar radiyallahu, did I not inform you that you will not die except as a martyr? And you used to say, how can that be whilst you live in the peninsula? This is in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat 3-361. So imagine, Umar is fatally wounded. And he goes, you thought this strange Amirul Mu'mineen. Well, like I told you. He goes, you were going to die as a martyr. And look how Allah has done it. Then the Shaykh says, also Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayh did not mention the controversial story in Al-Istia. Now this is the thing. Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh had stated in Al-Bidayah that Abu Lu'lu'a threatened the Khalif Tuesday evening, then struck him the following morning on a Wednesday. So imagine, when was the threat made? Tuesday evening. Just the next morning, he struck him. 4 days remaining from the month of Zulhijjah. Hence, there was only a few hours between the threat and its implementation. Thus, how could Qa'ab go to Umar and inform him that he had 3 days to live? Because it doesn't make sense. If he threatened him, imagine, 12 hours before, and Qa'ab's come 3 days before. He goes, yeah, you've got 3 days left. Well, how on earth is he implemented? You know, it doesn't make sense. Similarly, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh in his Tariq al-Khulafa goes on to mention many other sources, I haven't given them, have not all mentioned this story at all. Is this not a proof that the story is a fabrication, that a researcher does not even feel comfortable to mention it? Thus, in conclusion, the Sheikh said, it is a complete fabrication which was concocted to make the Muslims hate Ka'ab al-Akhbar, rahmatullah alayh. Rather, he was trusted by many companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, so much so that they narrated a hadith from him, which is the greatest trust any person can give to another. So now, why have I mentioned this at length? Because that's the problem with history. If you just look into history, well, I'm fond of history. Are you? What books are you reading? Then he goes, Ibn Sa'd, verify it. If you don't, you end up with different versions of the whole narrative. And this is what the deviant sects always do. They ignore the Quran. They ignore the Sunnah. They'll go to history. Why? Because they can find things. And they hope that you do not know that the things that they're mentioning, which are true, they hope that you do not know that these are fabricated. You understand? So they'll quote Ibn Sa'd, Hafiz Ibn Jarir, and then you say, right, is it authentic? And if they try to do the smoke screen, go and verify it yourself. Let me just verify it myself, brother. I'm just going to ask a few brothers. Then you find out, this is the game that these... Now question, why did they target Ka'ab al-Akhbar? A person goes, well, he was a Jew, so who's actually targeted, gone out of the way to target him? So the scholars point out, who do you think targeted him? If the Sahaba trusted him, and he was narrating things and the Sahaba trusted him, by targeting Ka'ab, they're undermining the Sahaba. Have you understood? Right? If somebody goes, well, where's the wisdom? Who's targeted him? The enemies of the companions. Because if the companions trusted him, and you can belittle him, say, look, he was responsible. He killed Umar. And Sahaba, that means Sahaba aren't trustworthy. You can't judge. You cannot accept their judgments. They didn't even know Ka'ab was a conspirator. So this is the games these people play. And he was that noble. Let me give you one report to mention. The hadith is in Darimi, in his Sunan, and it's authentic. And Ka'ab al-Akhbar, rahmatullah alayh, he came to Sayyidah Aisha, Amudah radiyallahu anha. And he said to Sayyidah Aisha, Hazrat Aisha asked, what do you know about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Could you share something? So Hazrat Ka'ab, rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned the famous hadith. He goes, dear mothers, every single day, 70,000 angels descend to the grave of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they do tawaf around it. And they rub their wings against the holy grave. And then at Maghrib, they ascend. Another 70,000 descend, doing the same. Well, that's the report, authentic. Who's trusting him now? Did Hazrat Aisha go, well, where did you pluck that one out from? Right, you know, we've never heard that. Is that one of your Jewish fables again? No, the scholars accepted it. Why? Because he was trustworthy. But having said that, there was something about him that the companions alerted the Muslims to. For instance, Ka'ab al-Akhbar, rahmatullah alayh, he believed that the one who was sacrificed was Ishaq, not Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of that, some of the people narrated that view. And the scholars who scrutinized where this view has come from, they go, it's a genuine view. It goes back to Ka'ab. And Ka'ab, he wasn't lying. He believed that it's Ishaq. But the dominant view is it was Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. But that shows how much veneration the scholars have given him, that they have accepted that view. It's a view of some of the ulama. And this is why Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said something very interesting in Sahih Bukhari. He goes, Ka'ab is a trustworthy man, but we detected errors from him. Look how amazing the Sahaba. Why? Because he's an honorable man. Umar held him close. He must be honorable. But we detect errors, meaning he can make errors. And this is not to belittle Sayyidina Ka'ab, but it's to highlight how intimate he was with the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he's got nothing at all to do with the tragic martyrdom of Sayyidina Umar. This is just a concocted lie, but you can find it if you look into the books of history. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from finding faults with those who are near and dear to him. Amen. So all I mentioned today was basically the three unholy conspirators, just to mention their names again, Abu Lu'lu'a Fayruz al-Majusi, al-Hurmuzan, and Jufayna. The fourth is Ka'ab al-Akhbar, but he's innocent. Just like the wolf was innocent of devouring Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The scholars say beautiful things, you know, because the brothers, they said, a wolf has devoured him, and they brought his shirt back. And then the father looked at the shirt, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, it's not even ripped. And then he goes, this is something that you've hatched. And this is why the ulama mentioned these points. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اتوب الله من شر الحمد سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والعصر ان شاء الله في خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق